If everything is special, nothing is special. Everything doesn't have the same amount of specialness, and we still have to live with our limits. So if I am holding on to like 10 huge boxes of things that were left from my dad because they're special, and I can't, and it just breaks my heart to think of letting them go, but I don't have room for those 10 boxes, then here's what I can do. And this is very useful. I'm going to say, you know what? I really only have room for 2 boxes. I'd like to save some of his stuff, but I don't need to take up that much room with it. So I'm going to get those 10 boxes out, and I'm going to pick the most special things and put them in those 2 boxes.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by book number 2 from Dominique Dom Brightman, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. It is the field guide to help unleash the elite performer that is inside of you. Cop it today on Amazon.com or heading over to DomBrightman.com and snag it in book, ebook, and audiobook. So that way you can take it on the go and get yourself on the go to your northbound success. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, the Going North Podcast, we're back at you again with another super special awesome human from across the globe, a courtesy of the wonderful website. It's probably one of the best websites on planet Earth today, going strong with 6-pack, if not 18-pack, metaphorically speaking, known as podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts, and if they're cool, they're freaking in. Today's guest is cooler than 3 cucumbers indeed, y'all. That's right, indeed. You're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat. That's right. It might be your own dessert bar at a buffet and all you can eat, because my goodness, today's wonderful guest, y'all. She's a fellow child of the king, y'all. That's right, indeed. She knows the Lord. She loves him. And not only that, in addition to her wonderful book, she is also a mom, a wife, a speaker, certified professional organizer, and the owner of her wonderful company, Ship Shape Solutions. So try saying that 7 times fast. Let's give it up for the A to the H, the amazing and heavenly, the one, the only, Angie Heitch. How you doing today, Angie?
Hey, I am great. How are you, Dom?
Doing great, too. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So great that the tiger might get jealous. Feeling great. Oh man, but hey, as with all introductions, they don't tell the whole story. So my filling is in, and I became the amazing Angie that you are today.
How I became the amazing Angie that I am today. What a question. All right. Well, goodness. That's a really fun opening question. So I have a pretty interesting background. Grew up in East Tennessee. I've done a lot of different, I guess I would say I have had like 4 or 5 professions with a big mix of things. I got my undergrad degree in biology at Tennessee Tech, played volleyball there. I was a jock and worked at CDC, Centers for Disease Control, during leprosy research for a year. Then I got trained to be a high school science teacher, and that was not the career for me. And I learned that pretty quickly. So I went back to school and got a master's in medical science and worked as a pediatric PA, physician assistant, at an inner city pediatric clinic in Atlanta. So help take care of kids, sometimes, and their moms too, because we had a lot of teenage mothers. And my husband and I started our family. I have 2 girls. They are grown now, 30 and 27. Moved back to our hometown in East Tennessee and had a lot of time home to raise them, to volunteer in the schools. And the library and the clinic and the classroom. And while volunteering, I started getting into acting as a hobby. And while volunteering at the theater to act, I had to go into the room that where they stored their props and costumes and set pieces. And I could barely stand to walk in that room. It was an absolute disaster. And I had always been someone who had loved order, getting things in order. And since I had time on my hands as a volunteer, I said, I can't handle this. I really want to put this room in order. So the theater had a part-time employee who also felt similarly. So the two of us took weeks of time and went through every single thing the theater owned, including their storage unit, which they didn't even know what they had in there. And we sorted it all out. We got rid of a lot. The things that were left, we put them in containers and labeled them. And it was just this huge transformation. And during that process, I said, this is what I love to do. This is what I need to be doing. And then I started doing some research and found out that people do organize for a living. I found a professional association, NAPO, National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals. And when I figured out that in order to be an organizer, I would, being in this small town in Tennessee, I would need to start my own business. And that seemed very intimidating to me. So I kind of kept that in the back of my mind, went back to work. I was a teaching assistant in elementary school, and that was okay. I was good at it. I enjoyed it. But I couldn't get this organizing idea and passion out of my mind. So when my husband and I hit empty nest stage of life, had a little more time, and decided that I was afraid that if I didn't just give this a try, that I was going to regret it. So I did the training, I did some mentoring, got a mentor, and launched my business. And it was terrifying and exciting. And it's just been a really neat journey. I went from a business that was mostly focused on working in client homes, helping them identify and eliminate the physical clutter in their homes and bring things in order. And then I kind of, over the years, have transitioned to where my focus is more on writing, speaking, and podcasting, and also bringing into the equation that physical clutter of stuff is only a small part of it. Clutter in our schedule and clutter in our minds is probably even more prevalent and detrimental. So that led to writing a couple of books and starting my podcast and doing a lot of speaking. So that's kind of where I am now. It's been a twisting, turning journey, but that's exactly where God wants me to be. So it's been a joy.
That's right, indeed. A joy, indeed. You'll love to see it. You'll love to see it in a, that's right. And he's like, yay, I love the kids. It's like, yay, I also love theater too. Oh, goodness, this closet is freaking huge and full of all this junk. Like, let me clear it out. Let me clear it out. Mm-hmm. Let me at least find out where my own shoes are. They're on my feet, but they feel like they're lost here.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, you know, since I mentioned the theater and finding out how much I love to organize by putting that place in order, so the thing that I'm currently working on is writing a play. Because I've been acting for so long and writing about this topic, I'd not seen much on the stage. So I'm writing a play about a professional organizer and her family. She's trying to help her mother declutter and downsize. And my plan, my hope and my prayer is that I'll be able to get it on the stage of the theater where I feel like I got my start in the profession and also with acting. So that is the plan, and a lot of prayers going up, and I've got the first draft done, and I've turned it in and submitted it, and so praying that it'll go through and get on the stage in the next year.
Oh, sweet. That's what I'm talking about today. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, shoot, with that topic, it sounds like, especially with a lot of things going on, it's like a lot of folks when it comes to the whole one generation going to the next. It's like the newer generation. It's like, dude, I don't want to keep all your old stuff. I don't care if it's a family heirloom that's been around for 300 years before I showed up. It's like, get it out of here. So my goodness.
Absolutely. So... yeah. People get burdened by things that are handed down from previous generations. And I like to help in those situations, but I think the best way to deal with that, honestly, is for each person individually to make a plan for their possessions and get their documents in order and that kind of thing. And that is a very, very, it's easier said than done. There's just a lot of emotion and psychology about how we interact with our belongings. And I think a lot of the avoidance and just continually piling up and not shedding is that we don't want to face the fact that we're going to die and that someone is going to have to go through those belongings. But when we don't take the time to do that, we're leaving a real burden and it's not fair.
Yep, it's true. It's true indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Although it can be a treasure hunt at times to see what you find for later. So my goodness, shoot. So when it comes to helping out your magical clients or even helping others with their magical stuff and the consultations and whatnot, what's probably the most thing that pops up the most when it comes to helping them out besides, oh my gosh, I want to keep all of it.
Oh, the most interesting, like, excuses for not letting things go or interesting things we find or what?
Yeah, let's go with the excuses.
Okay. I would say the number one excuse for why people don't let things go is the three most dangerous words in the English language, just in case. I better hold on to this just in case I might need it. And there is some truth to that, but the thing is, most of the time, that whole just in case thing is just a lame excuse because some of the things we're holding on to just in case, we know we're never going to need that. And if you're a believer, a lot of that is really evidence of a lack of faith. If I believe Matthew 6 is true, you know, if you put your focus on God first, put the kingdom first, he's going to provide all your needs. Then you're able to say, you know what? These boxes and boxes and boxes of things that I have moved 10 times without opening that I've kept just in case. I mean, what are the real odds that I'm going to need this stuff? And if I do, don't I believe in a God that can provide that for me in my time of need? So just in case is for sure, I think, the biggest obstacle to letting things go. And another excuse I hear a lot is I don't have time. And I get that. We've all got so many demands on our time. But the thing is, we make time for what's most important to us. And the physical clutter in our homes is costing us lots of time and money as well. You know, we go out and buy things that we already have because we don't know we have them because things are so cluttered. We spend time looking for things we know we have them that we can't find, you know, and it doesn't have to be done in, you know, big, huge chunks of time. You know, you can, I've got a tip that I share all the time that takes almost zero time and makes a big difference for decluttering. You can break it down into tiny bits of time. So yes, there are seasons of life where your time is incredibly in demand. You know, when if you're caring for elders, if you've got young children, but there are ways to do this and to make progress. So I would say I don't have time is another big one. Let me think about what I think are the other ones that I hear a lot. I think for people who are perfectionists like me, a big excuse is, well, I don't have the training. I don't have the right containers. I don't have the knowledge. It's so easy to find resources. And the thing is, I think this is a good phrase for perfectionists to keep in mind. Done is better than perfect. And progress over perfection. You know, you can find a small thing and just like, this junk drawer is driving me crazy. Open it up, pull everything out, sort it into categories, let go of the things you're not using. And then you do that one tiny thing. And then, you know, I didn't have to have any training for that. I just did simple things. And wow, what a difference that makes. And then you get some momentum. Hey, if I can make this junk drawer better, I can do the same thing in my closet. And I can do the same thing with my cluttered schedule. And I can do the same thing with my cluttered mind. The same principles work for everything. And it's not rocket science. So I would say that's another big one. Oh, here's another big one. You've got some clutter and you know you're probably not using it. But so-and-so gave it to me. It's special. It's special. I can't get rid of that. It's special. And that is no doubt the toughest category when it comes to physical clutter is the sentimental items. There's a couple of things that I say about that. Number one is, if everything is special, nothing is special. Everything doesn't have the same amount of specialness. And we still have to live with our limits. So if I am holding on to like 10 huge boxes of things that were left from my dad because they're special, and I can't, and it just breaks my heart to think of letting them go, but I don't have room for those 10 boxes, then here's what I can do. And this is very useful. I'm going to say, you know what? I really only have room for 2 boxes. I'd like to save some of his stuff, but I don't need to take up that much room with it. So I'm going to get those 10 boxes out and I'm going to pick the most special things and put them in those 2 boxes. Then I'm able to keep some of it, but I'm staying within my limits. So identifying what really is the most special and you're letting the space make the decisions. This is how much space I'm able and willing to give up to this. And then I'm going to make the tough decisions and pick the things that are the most appropriate and meaningful for me to keep. Also, here's another one. I can't get rid of that because I paid good money for it. That's a big one. And it's like we don't want to forgive ourselves for making a mistake. Like I often buy decor and craft stuff. That's those two are weaknesses for me. But every once in a while, I have to look at that craft stuff and say, you know, I'm never going to do that craft. I'm just not. I don't have the time for it. I don't really like that kind of craft anymore. Or this decor, that's not really what I enjoy anymore. It doesn't fit in my space with my personality. And I'm just going to forgive myself and let that go. Because those things, someone else could be getting use out of them. I really believe that everything we own, we don't really own it, honestly. Everything we have is straight from God, and our job is to be a good steward of it, to use it in a way that glorifies Him. So I'm going to take that stuff. I'm not using it anyway. I'm going to say, okay, maybe that wasn't the best decision, but I'm going to move on, and I'm going to let someone else get some use out of this, and I'm just going to go ahead and let it go. And I've freed up space. I've freed up my mind. I'm looking to the future. What does God have for me now? And what does He have for me in the future? And instead of getting stuck in the past and on the mistakes. So yeah, I could go all day on excuses. These are big. I use them myself sometimes. So a lot of this work, when it comes to how we view our things and our time and our thoughts, it's a mindset shift. It's very difficult emotionally and psychologically, but it is time and attention well spent when we're willing to take an honest look at our life and identify and let that clutter go. It is freeing and leads to so much peace. Allows you to be able to spend the time doing the things you want to do and the things that are the most important to you.
Important indeed. That's right, indeed, because, yep, that good old sunk cost fallacy can be real sometimes. Like, man, I paid good money for this thing. I'm keeping this shirt. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it doesn't fit anymore, it's like, shoot. It's like, I'll break the calories. I'll drop the COVID-20 eventually. And of course, the just in case, it's like, shit, if you know a guy named Justin and he's in a case somewhere, it's like, hey, you never know. He's just waiting for his opportunity to come out the case. I guess I could rest my case on that joke. But hey, it's all good. It's all good indeed. And also what I love about you and what makes you very interesting from your wonderful expertise is that you come from clutter from a different realm. You don't just focus on the physical stuff. So what led to the addition? Were you just reading your Bible one day and it just popped out to you? Like, how'd you add that to your wonderful expertise?
I think it was a lot of things. I think that a lot of it was examining the scripture. I think a lot of it was God kind of helping me see my own internal stuff and how I was really living in a way that was out of alignment. I think about, like, I've never gone to a chiropractor, but I know that having your spine in alignment and everything is very important. So if you live, if you're saying one thing, you know, I'm a Christian, God's the most important thing in my life, and then my family, and then myself, but you're living in such a way that if you look at the way you spend your time and your money and your thoughts and all that, and it's completely opposite of that, eventually something breaks inside you, and hopefully your heart is not hardened, and God speaks and like, hey, you say I'm the most important thing in your life, but I don't see that. And I think God was trying to speak to me for a long time to show me that. And that's, it was really my own personal journey. And then knowing that I wasn't the only one that had these issues. And so I think that was the biggest part of it. And noticing it myself. Also kind of seeing, you know, I was able to see with my clients how freeing it was to clear the physical clutter. But when I realized my own clutter, the invisible kind, and started clearing it, clearing things in my schedule, clearing things from my mind, living in a way that my values were being lived out, starting to see the freedom that came from that. Say, I need to write about this. I need to speak about this. I need to podcast about this. People need to hear this because it's changing lives. It's changing the lives of my clients. It's changing my own life. And I know that this is a message that God wants me to get out into the world.
Yes, I'm talking about days. I'm talking about day. And the good news is it ain't just about get it out to the world through these interviews. You got a couple books, too. So was writing always something you love to do, too? So were you in the confidence to end not one but two books?
No, I never would have seen myself becoming an author. Never would have imagined that. When I was teaching at an elementary school, an email went out to the staff about a local newspaper that wanted people to contribute to their food page. And they just needed someone to occasionally share a recipe and a story that goes with the recipe. And I thought, well, that sounds interesting. I think I could do that. I think I like to write. I don't know. I'll give it a try. So I started doing that column. It was very occasional and I really loved it. Well, then a few years later, when I started my business, I started blogging because that's what, you know, that's kind of what you did, what you do. And then my favorite magazine, which is Real Simple, every month I realized they had a feature about organizing. I thought, well, that, and of course, that was always my favorite. And I thought, I wonder if my local newspaper, I think the readers would probably enjoy this. So I went to the editor of the paper and said, hey, I think this might be something that the community would like. This is the kind of stuff I write. So that was early 2017. And it was mostly like it was also teaching and giving information, but also just spread the word about my business. So that became a monthly column that continues to this day, 7 years later, every month. Well, when I was writing presentations, yeah, I love it. When I was writing presentations and I started seeing that spiritual connection, I did a presentation that I called The Spiritual Implications of Clutter I started talking about the other categories, and then I realized there was so much more to say, and that became my first book. Then I connected with a former professional organizer, Leanna George, and she said, she's in Houston and I'm in Tennessee. We met virtually. And she said, I've had an idea for years about writing a book of devotionals related to the clutter, the physical clutter, the clutter in our schedule, the clutter in our minds. And would you be willing to consider partnering together? And I said, oh, absolutely. That sounds great. So that's where Uncluttered the book and Uncluttered the podcast came from. But never in a million years would I have thought you're going to write a book. It just kind of grew that way. God led me that way. And now writing is all I want to do. So I'm not even in homes anymore. I loved it. I do still do some free organizing for nonprofits in my area. If I feel like they've got a great cause, then I take some time to give to them. But yeah, again, it's a road I would not have thought I would travel, but it's been God leading me all the way, which makes it more fun.
Fun indeed, as I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, you'll love to see it. You'll love to see it. So writing blogs and contributing articles to putting pen to paper again at a higher level with putting books out there. Indeed, you'll love to see it. You'll love to friggin' see it. So my goodness, since you're a believer and grew up in Tennessee, which I consider part of the Bible Belt, like you've probably been a Christian your whole life. So when did your faith really become real for you?
Oh, wow. I feel like it's been a lot of stages. I can't remember a time when I didn't believe in God, but and go to church. And, you know, my family was good about instilling values and teaching about God. But I kind of had two or three times where I feel like God called me into a deeper relationship. You know, sometimes it's easy to hear things in the Bible and say, like, for instance, Jesus died to save us from our sins, the sins of the whole world. But it's a much deeper thing to say, he died for my sins. If I'd been the only one, he still would have had to die. And so I came to a deeper relationship with him, and I realized that and was like, oh my gosh, here's all the junk, Jesus. And how can I ever thank you for, you know, bringing me through that? And then this most recent one, realizing, oh gosh, I have just assembled so much unnecessary stuff into my mind and in my schedule. I've got to clear that out. And it's another way that I've really become closer to him. So, you know, you always say it's a journey, and it really is. And I just want to keep journeying toward him, you know, instead of away. You know, I know your emphasis is on authors and either established authors or aspiring authors. And I think that the clutter in our minds is especially damaging to those who want to create. So I wanted to give some practical tips for that, because I think it would be helpful, especially, well, I think for people who are writing or people who want to write, because that clutter can just really keep us from doing the work at all or doing the best work. So I encourage everyone to think about, what is distracting you? Is it the clutter in your home? Is it the clutter in your schedule? Are there things in your calendar or on your to-do list that don't align with your priorities? Those just need to go. And it may not be easy to do, but the more I really believe in order to emphasize the important, you got to let go of all the unimportant. And that's what clutter clearing is. For those who are aspiring authors, and there are a lot of people out there that someday I want to write a book. Someday I want to write a story or a play or whatever it is. I would just say, just start writing. And whether that is pen to paper, I really prefer digital because then it's already captured. Don't worry about which tool, what format, where's this going to go? What? Just get get it out of your mind and into a format that you can go back to later. Even if you never get to it for years, you've got your start. God, one of my favorite scriptures is Ephesians 2:10 that says, we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And it could be one of the good things that he planned for you long ago was for you to write your story, whether it's fiction or nonfiction or whatever genre. And if your schedule and your home and your mind is cluttered, you're not going to be able to carry that out. And boy, when we are able to see exactly what God made us for and carry that out, there is no contentment like that. And even if it only touches one person, it is so worth it to get that story out there. And the clutter in our minds, so the categories bleed together. If you've got a cram-packed schedule, your mind is cluttered too, and vice versa. So uncluttering your schedule will unclutter your mind. And your mind, here's another thing. We tend to try to store a lot of things in our mind. We treat them like a storage unit sometimes. And they were never created to be that way. Our minds were created to have ideas, not to hold on to them. And so I see this a lot. This has been life-changing for me to realize this particular type of clutter in my mind. So I like to give this tip a lot. There's a really, really good book in the time management genre. It's called Getting Things Done by David Allen. And have you heard of it?
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic. I haven't even read the whole book, but two things he shares, and this one in particular, changed my life. So his advice is to get open loops into trusted systems. Now, that sounds like gobbledygook, but here's what it means in a practical way. An open loop is anything that is not in a state that you want it to be. Something that's incomplete and it's pulling at your attention. And it can be as simple as, I need to stop on the way home and go to the grocery, or I've got to send an email to that person about the meeting, or I need to call my mom, or whatever. I got to start planning this, and our brains are just constantly all those things swirling through there. And when we're trying to hold on to all that, no wonder we can't be present where we are, because you're like, oh, wait, the email, the errand, if we can figure out a way to get that out of our head and into something that'll help us to remember, and that would be a trusted system, will make you less stressed, more productive, and allow you to generate creative ideas. And a trusted system can be anything from a paper list to Google Calendar to Trello to the Notes app, the Reminders app. There's lots of great, great tools, but it needs to be something that you know, okay, now it's in this format, and I know I'll be reminded of it at the appropriate time. And then you're just freed up to be able to do to be present where you are and to have those ideas. So that is a big source. And if this is something that you're like, whoa, I've never heard of this. How do I even start that? That sounds crazy. I always recommend start with a big brain dump. Sit with paper and pencil, not digital this time. Set aside at least 20 minutes, more like 20, 30. Quickly jot down everything you're trying to hold in your head. Just jot it down. Don't worry about making it neat. Don't worry about making it pretty or categorized or whatever. Just jot them all down. And then look through your list and say, okay, where can I put this? What system can I use for this? And if you will regularly practice this habit and perfect it, it will change things in your mind. It is so effective.
Me luck indeed. Yep, good old brain dumping. Good times indeed.
Yeah. And then when you get in the habit, then you'll have a thought like, oh, I got to do that. Then you're like, wait, I'm going to go ahead and put it there. Let me go ahead. What I've figured out that works for me is I use Alexa and Siri a lot. I use I do use paper for a few things, especially if I've got to get it out of my head immediately and I just, you know, whatever. But then you'll get into the habit to where instead of letting them pile up, and then you got to spend 30 minutes on a brain dump, you're in a habit of getting those things in a trusted system and living that way. And that's when the magic really happens.
Hashtag magical Angie. You'll love to see it.
Well, I'll credit David Allen for that one. And God for all of it.
That's what I'm talking about today. So my goodness, since you're a fellow podcast host, I always like to ask one of those obligatory questions. So what would you consider your top three lessons learned from starting, running, and growing your magical show?
Ooh, top three lessons from starting, running, and growing my show. Number one, I would say, and this is for everything that has been a step where it's scary, and you think, oh, I don't know if I can do this. I don't have all the tools. Get your tools and just doggone it, do it. Because like it took me years to start my business, once I just said, all right, God, I'm going for this. I'm just going to do it. Wow. Yeah, there were challenges. Yeah, there was growth. But man, it's so exciting. So just buck up and do it. You'll surprise yourself. And again, it could be this is one of the things that God really, you know, targeted for you. He planned this in advance. I believe it. He planned for me to be a podcaster talking about clutter. And what if I let that fear scare me out of doing it? So that's the one thing, just going for it. Two, you know, take the time to get the training. There's lots of tools. If podcasting is something you're thinking about or whatever it is, find some people who are doing it well. See, what is it they're doing? You know, what is it you love about it and why? And use that as a model. Let's see, what else? I would say be flexible. We try to have a new episode. We occasionally take some time off, holidays, summer, or whatever. But we try to have a podcast launch every other Wednesday. Occasionally, something crazy happens. The company that helps us produce the video, because we're on YouTube as well as all the major platforms for audio. First, she was in the path of a hurricane and had no power. And then her dad got sick. And so we were having to adjust our schedule. But yeah, I mean, sometimes that has to happen and you're going to drive yourself crazy if you just obsess over, oh my gosh, we're not on schedule. It's okay. Your listeners will, they'll understand. And it's all right.
Sorry, indeed. Yep, things can happen. That they can indeed. But hey, name of the game is definitely love first step days. Okay, just go ahead and get started and make sure you watch for the folks who are doing a good job and doing it well indeed. That's what to learn from indeed. That way you eventually find your own version, your own style, develop your own cadence. That's right, indeed. So is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often on the guest side of the game when you're doing interviews?
Ooh, what a great question. What people would ask me more often? Wow. And nothing comes to mind automatically. Okay, maybe how, anything about how all that twisty turny career, how you see that being useful in what you're doing now. Because there is a connection, even though it sounds weird to think from doing medicine and taking care of kids to helping people simplify and organize their lives. And I think it's kind of a cool connection. So you want me just to answer it? I just assume that you asked that? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So when I was practicing medicine, my favorite part about it was when I had either an older kid or a younger kid and parent coming in, and they would say, okay, this is what's going on. This is how the kid is feeling. This is what they're doing. This is what the parent is saying. Especially if it was kind of a question like, what is going on here? It's not an obvious diagnosis. And so then maybe I would order some labs or some imaging studies or that kind of thing. So I'm taking the things that they're saying, the things that I see or hear on a physical exam, maybe some labs, and then I'm putting that all together. And it's like a puzzle figuring out, all right, this is what I think is going on. And this is what I think would be the best plan to try to deal with that. So, in the same way, when it comes to simplifying our lives and putting things in order, I get, here's what my client is saying. I'm feeling overwhelmed. This is not working. That is working. Then I go into the home or the business and I see this is the way things are arranged. This is the way they do this process. And then what I've got my skills. And so then it's like a puzzle. Okay, I think what this person or this organization needs is to try this differently or arrange this differently. And solving that puzzle and coming up with a solution. And then, of course, it's trial and error. Does this work? If not, what part works? What doesn't? And then we go back and we tweak it until we make it work. I love that. It's so much fun. It is really, it's all, you know, it's all problem solution. And we can do that in just about any profession, really. Yeah, can be engineers do that. You know, lots of people could do that at their job all the time.
Yeah, it's true. It's true indeed. Because that's the best experience is that on the job experience and actually doing things. Because hey, it's like you solve problems right in front of
Absolutely.
you. It makes a lot of fun for later. It's like, oh yeah, I did something like this before. This is easy as pie. Muscle memory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the more you build up, you kind of have more things in your tool bag. And you say, "Hey, well, I had a client last week and we tried this and you try it with them. Oh, that one didn't work. Okay, we're going to have to go with something new." You constantly evolve and constantly learn. I'm getting close to retirement age, and I loved school, loved everything about school, every stage of school. I loved the homework. I loved studying for a test. I was just like, I could be an eternal student. I want to always be learning. I want to always be trying scary things because those are the things that push you forward and help you grow. And I don't want to ever stop that, even when I'm sitting on my front porch in my rocking chair at 85 or whatever. I want to still be learning and growing and moving.
There you go. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So I heard that right, folks. You're gonna start a random school somewhere. You got to leave an apple on a desk, y'all. That's right indeed. Well, speaking of apples, fun question for you. And I guess I'll go with your most recent book, Uncluttered, Shaping Your Heart and Home for What Matters Most. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh man, if it were a food, I'm gonna make it what is, when I think about like if I only had to eat one food for the rest of my life, what would it be? I'm gonna use the same answer for my book for a reason. So if I had to eat one thing, it would probably be some kind of pasta with maybe a little protein, either meat or tofu or whatever, and a lot of vegetables. The reason I like that is I like a lot of variety. I like being able to get all those nutrients in there and, you know, kind of something for everyone. And so the Uncluttered book, because it deals with the physical clutter, the schedule clutter, the attention clutter, not every piece that's a collection of 28 devotionals, each of which has a practical step called Now Unclutter It, and a prayer and a page for reflections. So while every single devotional may not hit every single need you had, there's going to be something in there for you. So it might be the vegetable, it might be the meat, it might be the pasta, it might be the sauce. So that's what I'll say the book is. And I love that question, Dom.
Right, indeed. They say books are food for the mind, so let's take it literally.
Yeah.
That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. You'll love to see it. You'll love to see it. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is if it'll wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
25 and still in the current year. I would say go ahead now and look at the issues about what things are cluttering up your mind and your home and your schedule. And just go ahead and start now with these healthy habits and examine, am I living the way that I say I want to live? I would also say you don't have to stay off social media, TV, radio, all that, but limit it because it's gonna really clutter up your mind. I do social media to promote my books and my podcast and my speaking, but I have to really watch myself. Even this morning, I was praying to start the day, and then I realized, oh, there I went down the rabbit hole of Instagram because it's kind of fun. So, wow. The earlier you can start those good habits, the better.
The better indeed, and not butter. That's right. The doom scroll can be real. That's right indeed.
Yes.
They're built to distract us for a reason, y'all. That's right indeed.
Mm-hmm. Weapons of mass distraction. I love someone called it that.
So there you go. And they understand the assignment. It is a weapon of mass distraction. It's like, yep, distract from this, and then we'll go in and do some things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know the things that people need to do is keep up with you and all that you're doing, cop some copies of your books. So for those who need to do just that, what's the best way for folks to do so, Angie?
Well, if you want to check out my books, go to my author page on Amazon, Angie Hyche, H-Y-C-H-E. I love for people to reach out to me, even if it's like, hey, I've got this issue. I've inherited 3 generations of stuff, or I don't know how to deal with my schedule. Shoot me an email. I love talking about that stuff. So my email is angie@shipshape.solutions. My website is shipshape.solutions. All those 100 and some articles that I've written over the past 17 years, they're all on my website and free. I've got 4 years worth of daytime talk demos about organizing. That's all on my website. My speaker information, I travel to speak. So I've got my major topics on there. So head over to my website, check out my stuff, shipshape.solutions. And that's the best way to connect with me. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn as well.
Well, there you have it, folks. She's got a powder keg of content. Y'all check out all of her wonderful wares and goodies on her wonderful website and copies of her books. And if I'm not mistaken, you're narrating 1 or 2 of them, right?
I did the audio. My first book, Unholy Mess, What the Bible Says About Clutter, I narrated, and it's available in audiobook. So that was quite a fun challenge. And my sweet husband, who's a tech master, edited that for me. So yeah, if you're an audiobook fan, that's available.
Sweet. Serve that right, folks. If you want to hear more of Angie and get her in your brain, get the audio version too, y'all. That's right, Dave. Get it all on the goodies that we're going to put in the show notes and keep up with her. Be sure to subscribe to her podcast too. We're going to put a link to that in the show notes as well so we can share the wealth, y'all. That's right, indeed. Your place will be so uncluttered, you'll be like, man, I can break dance in here. That's right, indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring it on. I don't think I can break dance, but I can do some moves in my uncluttered space, in my uncluttered mind. Yeah.
See, there you go. Can you break dance like Ray Gunn from Australia?
I've never seen him. I need to look that up.
Oh my gosh. You've never seen the breakdancing chick from Australia who did the kangaroo hop?
No.
From
no.
The Olympics?
Now I'm going to be going down the rabbit hole. Thank you.
Don't worry. In her case, it's a kangaroo hole with a big old pouch. Well, anyways, any parting words before we close up shop?
I'll end with the way that we end every episode of our podcast, and that is an uncluttered life is an abundant life. And that seems very counterintuitive. We tend to think of abundance as a lot of whatever. And therefore, we clutter up our life. But truly, when we have a life that is not cluttered, we can really live the abundant life that we were designed to live. So an uncluttered life is an abundant life.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in. And if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.